Hello, I'm Peter Laws, and this is a sermon-only episode of the Creepy Cove Community Church podcast. If you'd like to hear the full church service, complete with strange comedy, special guests, and notices like you've never heard before, then all the shows are available for free. Just visit creepycove.com to find out more. But if you just want to hear a sermon, a time of quiet reflection, and a song, then this is for you. I'd be grateful if you could check out patreon.com/creepycove to find out how you can support the show and get lots of exclusive member benefits. But for now, I'll shut up. Here's your sermon.
That's the best way.
Thanks.
To get your point across. But for now, we're going to explore this most interesting of ideas that was hinted at in the passage we just had read to us. Is God male? Oof. Well, let's check it out. And I'm delighted to invite Claire Cockrell to speak to us. Put your hands together. Hello, Claire. Hi.
Thank you, Rupert. Oh, thank you. Must say it's lovely to see you again. I think the last time we met must have been at the party at Peter and Joy's, the fancy dress one. The one you were dressed as Frankenfurter. It was a lovely evening. Well, it's really lovely to be here with you all today at Creepy Cove Community Church. Some of you I recognise, some of you I don't, but I look forward to connecting with you all. So to start with, I want to ask you to think about what comes to mind when you hear the word God. How do you picture God? And if you could see God filling out a questionnaire, when it came to the section that says, are you male or female or other, what box would be ticked? Typically, people tend to refer to God as male, as a man. Commonly, Christians pray to God the Father. Male pronouns are used. For example, he is Lord. Let us pray to him. And the incarnation of God in Jesus was in the body of a human man. So, is God male? Studies show that generally people tend to picture God as a man, primarily as a white man. I've asked a number of people of different ages what God's gender is. And for the most part, they picture God as male. Even if they say, generally they would say God is genderless, they will picture him as a man. I asked my teenage son how he pictured God. He laughed, knowing that I would prefer a more progressive answer, and said, to be honest, Mum, he looks like the Simpsons God. Which, for those of you who might not have seen the God on The Simpsons, is a big, elderly gentleman with a long white beard, although he is yellow. So I asked him, do you think then God is male? No, he said. But yeah, probably. Okay, so for most people, yeah, God is male. I myself generally refer to God by default in masculine terms like he. So what? Well, I think the gender ascribed to God is important. Even if you don't really believe God exists, as it has and continues to have real consequences in all our lives and world today. For some, the fixed maleness of God can be deeply unhelpful. And in terms of biblical theology, I just don't think it's true to say the Bible says God is a man. So let's start with the Bible, a book that sadly has been used throughout Christian history to suppress and dominate women and other minority groups. What does the Bible actually say about God's gender? Well, let's go right back to the beginning. In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." So just pause for a second and forget that I've said he a number of times. I just want to really think about that verse. It says, and this is going right back, kind of the earliest written manuscript that the church has, and also in Judaism as well, says that when God created people, God created people in God's image, and God created those in male and female. So the biblical, very first biblical account of humankind is that both men and women were made in the image of God. That the image of God is in both men and women. And it doesn't say one was created in any way higher than the other. Now, further on in the Bible, we read in Deuteronomy, God described as a mother eagle and as one who gave birth. In Isaiah, God is described as a comforting mother, a breastfeeding mother, and a woman in labour. In Hosea, God is described as a mother bear. And Jesus describes himself as a mother hen gathering her brood. Furthermore, there is a word in Hebrew used throughout the Bible, which is called rachum. Apologies for anybody who studies Hebrew that I've probably mispronounced that, but rachum is the word that means compassion. It is used over and over again in the Bible to talk about God's compassion. So it is a word that is often used to directly refer to God. So what has this got to do with God's gender? Well, the word rachum is derived from the word rechem. And the word rechem means womb. The Hebrew word rachum, the Hebrew word for compassion, is conveying the hugely emotional feeling a woman has for her children, those that she nurtured in her womb. For example, in Exodus 34, Yahweh, or God, is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, meaning God is deeply moved like a woman for her baby. God is deeply moved like a woman in her womb. So we see a real sense of the feminine being used, perhaps as we've translated it, we've lost that, but that the Bible was always showing a femininity of God. And even more than this, the name of God revealed to Moses in the Bible, the name Yahweh, meaning I am, is a combination of male and female grammatical endings. It starts with Yah, which is feminine, and Weh is masculine. So God's word for God starts with feminine and ends with masculine. And most of the Hebrew uses of the word the Holy Spirit use the feminine. So do I feel the Bible is open to us approaching God as female? Yes, I do. Every bit as much as we can present her as male. So for those who might be concerned when approaching the subject of God, of what the Bible says about it, I feel very strongly that yes, the Bible sees God as male and female. Although in many ways also genderless. Now, some argue that this isn't the case because typically the Bible uses masculine language to refer to God. And this is true. Typically it does. But the Bible was written in a patriarchal culture. It was written by men to be read by men. Naturally, they would write in ways that would be familiar to themselves and their culture. that's what we would expect. Everybody writes as what as how they see things at that, you know, moment in time. And so God is often referred to as a parent in the male term, father. Now, for those who have had an experience of a good dad, I think it's obvious why this term is used. I see the way my husband is with my boys, and I think, yes, that's why people talk about God as father. Someone who has their best interests at heart, who loves them, who cares for them. Someone who will always have their back, no matter what. Who wants to be around them, who would forgive them anything. I think that is what God the Father means. But many haven't experienced this. Many haven't had a positive experience of a father. Many have been hurt, abused, or neglected by their father. How then are they supposed to relate to God as father? This is another reason I feel we need to move away from overly identifying God as a man. If God is a man, and men have hurt us, then how do we relate to God? How is little Danny Torrance supposed to feel about God, his father? My father who art in the Overlook Hotel, insanity is thy name, although sometimes Johnny. Thy kingdom come, red rum be done, on earth as it was in 1921. Give me today my daily strangling, and forgive me for running as you try to chop me into little pieces. Deliver me from your axe, for thine is the alcoholism, violence, and egotism, forever and ever. Amen. Now, I know this is extreme, but I personally find it hard to consider God as a father. I was raised by my mum. She was the one who cared for me, loved me, read me stories, told me off for being bossy with my brother, patching up my knees when I've fallen over. She was my experience of unconditional love. For me, all the positive, nurturing elements of parenthood were female. And so when I'm encouraged to think of God as my father, to be honest, I draw a blank. It's not that I have a negative reaction. It just feels pretty abstract, like thinking of God as my accountant. I don't really have an experience of an accountant, so equally, you know, it's just not there. But when I think of God as a mother, this brings up all of the memories and the feelings. I instantly connect with an image of someone caring, nurturing, watching over me. Both through my experience of being raised by a mother and of being a mother myself and how I love my children. And so this is not about me having any issues with men or is God being portrayed as a father. It's just not helpful to me. So, as it's not helpful to me and as you know, we looked at the Bible has no problem seemingly with us approaching God as a woman. So surely, why don't I just relate to God as a woman? So move over Charlton Heston, move over Morgan Freeman. I want to visualize my God as feminine, caring, protective, strong, and kick-ass like Ripley in Aliens. But can I? Not so easily. For centuries, we've been allowed to assign gender to God. We're allowed to make God a gender. As long as that gender is male. But to refer to God in the feminine is risking being accused of being unbiblical, of goddess worship. Typically, the main one is being New Agey, of making God in your own image, so it's an ultimately selfish woman thing to do, or even witchcraft. And although Jesus and the early church elevated the position of women, it seems that as faith became religion, and religion became structured and organized, the usual patriarchal systems like that of Rome took over. We moved from a patriarchal Jewish society to a patriarchal Roman society. And like with much of history, women were dominated by men. In society, it was a benefit to those with power, typically that was white men, to keep God as a white man. Faith became organized and fell under the control of men, and centuries of power struggles and the subjugation of women have continued. As women were devalued, so were female attributes. Females were not valued, and as such, neither was the feminine in God. As the feminine in God diminishes, so do the woman's rights to equality, and round. There have been those throughout the history of the church who have upheld the feminine side of God. The Celtic church, who were less influenced by Rome, saw beauty in the feminine nature of God, and still today there are many prayers that talk about God as mother from that Celtic period. St. Anselm, the 11th century Archbishop of Canterbury, prayed to Christ my mother and called God the Great Mother. Lady Julian of Norwich, the 14th century mystic, wrote, "Just as God is our father, so God is also our mother." And in her writings, she speaks of our precious mother Jesus. But sadly, these exceptions have been few and far between. The male view of God has been used to control and dominate, and this continues today. The message of a male God implies that men are those made in his image, that men are the default, whereas women are the second class human. And this has consequences not just for those in churches, not just for those who believe in God, but for our whole world. For if a good majority of people believe that God is man, then men are allowed to act as gods. If God is a man, then man is God. So how then can we move away from this dominant white male God? The radical feminist theologian Mary Daly said, "Why must God be a noun? Why not a verb?" I think perhaps it's both. If we think of God not only as a noun but as a verb, and we think of ourselves like this too, we move into a much more generous way of being. Creativity, imagination, personality, thought, care, beauty, wonder, curiosity, humour, passion, conviction, and ultimately love. These things defy gender. And yet these are things that make us who we are. They defy gender, but they are that which gives us personhood. So too with God. Many times in the Bible, God is referred to as love. You may or may not relate to the idea of God, but I think most people uphold the value and concept of love. Love is without gender. Love is a verb, but for me, love is also a noun. It is not limited to my own understanding of it. I feel free to imagine love in any form I choose. I haven't been told which pronoun to use when referring to love. Perhaps we can approach the notions of God and love in the same way, with complete freedom, allowing them to be who they are and we be who we are. And I invite you now to join me in a short meditation. I want you to imagine you are walking into the terminal of an international airport. You go to the arrivals lounge. Perhaps you sit down for a moment on the chair. You've been asked to collect a passenger, but that you've never met before. All you know is the time they're arriving, the flight they're coming in on, and that the name of the passenger is Love. You have a big cardboard sign saying Love printed on it in large capital letters. You watch as people pass you by. Some look down at the sign. It is time, and the doors open towards the lounge and passengers begin flooding through. What does Love look like and how will you recognise them? Many people walk by, some glance at you, others rush straight to their loved ones. Then finally, Love is walking towards you. What does Love look like? How does Love approach you? Do you recognise Love? What does it feel to see Love in front of you? I hope you enjoyed the ride home. Thank you.
Hands together for Claire. Thank you so much. You've given us a lot to think about. Well, before I hand over to the band, let's just stay in this airport for a moment, as we have a brief moment of prayer. And remember, if you're not into God and prayer and all that sort of stuff, then do feel free to ignore this section or just use it how you will. Let's give it a go. God, as we sit in this crowded airport, surrounded by people, we pray that you'll help us to look beyond the stereotypes of who we expect to arrive, who we assume is the real you. We pray that we would find you as you are, not stomping towards us in anger and hate, but as someone who comes with love, someone who comes as love, because you are love. May we get to know this God of love more and more in our lives. Of course, if you don't exist, I guess it doesn't matter much. But if you do, well, I think we'd all like a little more love in our lives, so perhaps that means we'd like a little more you. And God, if you really are there, and if you really do love us like we've heard, can you particularly help any of us who find this issue of gender to be really sensitive? Maybe we find ourselves questioning our own gender, or we're stressed and scared about what people might think when we share who we are. Help anybody in that position to find loving voices around them who are ready to accept them. Maybe it's somebody we love. Help us to see people as more than just a label, and help us to see you as more than just a label, because that's how you see us. Amen. Well, thank you for taking part in that. Now, I'm going to invite the band up now, and they're going to sing and lead us in a new horror hymn, which is called, I understand, Blender? It's called Blender, and it's a song about how sometimes the horror genre is not always great when it comes to gender stereotypes. So let's check it out. And if you can all stand together if you're able, and let's sing together this little song called Blender.
Women when they were werewolves. Came across different in the stories that we told. You see, the wolfmen were seen as victims, gentlemen who were bitten and lost control. But the she-wolf, they kind of liked it. Folklore said it was just female release. So please, in the bottom line of that message is that women are much closer to being a beast. Yeah, it's pretty messed up and it's pretty insane, but if you pay some attention, you'll see it again and again. Old stereotypes of gender, just enough to send you mad. Maybe be a bit like God, throw labels in the blender. So think of men in the position of realizing that they're women after all. So they go through a transition. Most of us accept them, dress and all. But in horror movies, at least in the old days, gender confusion meant criminally insane. Hey, and you never get just normal trans folk, just Buffalo Bill and Angela and Michael Caine. You see, it's pretty messed up and it's pretty insane, but if you pay some attention, you'll see it again and again, that the stereotypes of gender are just enough to send you mad. Maybe be a bit like God, throw labels in the blender. Body in horror, when it's not sold as sensation, is killing guys as monstrous with the fear of menstruation, or the tropes of messed up motherhood and the final girl converging, or the fact that pristine innocence can be only found in a virgin, or the phallic use of weapons and the penetrating knife, or the fact that the hero is the guy with a supplementary wife. Oh, it must be so exhausting to see yourself on screen. It's nothing but a crude cartoon based on what men have seen. But wait a sec, the thing about horror, as well as being old, it's also pretty new. There's more screen time here for women, at least more than Oscar winners seem to do. And these movies have some kick-ass women, and the genre's getting more inclusive by the day. But hey, there's still a way for us to travel. So don't be shocked if you see one and you say, that's pretty messed up and it's pretty insane, but if you pay some attention, you'll see it again and again, that the stereotypes of gender are just enough to send you mad. Maybe be a bit like God, throw labels in the blender. Labels in the blender.
Well, can you put your hands together for the band? Thank you so much for that. Well, thank you for coming, everyone. It's been great to have you once again, and a special thank you to Claire for speaking to us this evening. If you enjoyed it, why not tell your friends about Creepy Cove or share us? Well, thank you for listening to this sermon-only edition of Creepy Cove Community Church Podcast. You can find more sermons, but also full services as well, if you wanted to check out creepycove.com. Remember, support the show by going to patreon.com/creepycove or visit creepycove.com and sign up to the Peter Laws newsletter so you can stay in the loop. Have a great week. Take care.